or you can contact us through our website at wmky.org. Cody Robinson here with you for a list of community events, regional news, and archived audio. Visit WMKY online. You can also follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and listen live online at wmky.org. This is Morehead State Public Radio. Up next, Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 48 degrees here in Morehead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
That website is up and running and will be through about mid-February.
Public meetings will be held to discuss infrastructure needs in Boyd and Greenup counties. The shape of a voter ID bill is changing in Frankfort. The Kentucky Department of Education is asking for feedback in an online survey. Environmentalists are speaking out against bills in West Virginia legislature. The University of Louisville will research renewable energy. In sports, the Morehead State basketball teams return to the hardwood tonight. Bud Luke has the stock report. Showers tonight with a low around 38. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Public meetings regarding the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's study of highway needs in the urban Boyd and Greenup areas conclude next week. At the meetings, engineers ask for public input about transportation improvements needed along roadways in a 50-mile square area. The area includes the U.S. 23 corridor between Catlettsburg, Ashland, and Greenup, and the U.S. 60 corridor between Ashland and Cannonsburg. Alan Blair is the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman.
We want people to come in, share their ideas, their thoughts on where are the problem areas that need fixed, what are some of the things they would like to see us do as far as implementing changes or improvements to the highways in that area. So it's kind of a open house format. We just want people to stop by anytime between 5 and 7 o'clock at Ashland City Hall.
The meeting will take place on the third floor of the Ashland City Hall Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Those unable to attend the meeting can make an input online at transportation.ky.gov/district9. Dozens of Whitley County residents called 911 Monday afternoon as their homes began to shake. The U.S. Geological Survey recorded a 3.8 magnitude earthquake just south of Fincastle, Tennessee. However, the effects were being felt all over southern Kentucky. Seismologist Seth Carpenter tells WKYT earthquakes occur more frequently than people expect.
Well, it's not uncommon, but earthquakes do occur infrequently in this area. So there could be another one in the near future. We don't know that. But typically, there's a reasonable, a decent amount of time on the order of years between larger events like this one.
Officials say the incident didn't last long, but it was strong enough to register on a seismograph in Lexington. The U.S. Geological Survey also reports the quake Monday afternoon was actually the second in the past week. Another 2.8 magnitude earthquake was reported in Williamsburg on Sunday. Muslim students visiting the Capitol yesterday were greeted by street preachers heckling them about their faith. The purpose of the visit was to empower Muslims to have a voice in state politics. Ishan Bagby is a leader in Lexington's growing Muslim community. He tells WKYT no faith of love could go after children.
I'm sure it is our kids for the first time coming face to face with hate. I don't think that's the Christian message anyway. I can't imagine Jesus doing that.
Attendees met with lawmakers to advocate for bills focusing on anti-bullying, maternal health care, voting rights, and a minimum wage. Muslim students from Lexington and Louisville attended the event. A hot-button bill requiring photo ID at the polls is changing shape as the state's new Republican Secretary of State incorporates suggestions from critics. Senate Bill 2 moved through committee on an 8-3 vote, but not without some changes. The biggest change would affect voters who show up with non-photo IDs. Under the previous version, those voters would need to submit provisional ballots and then visit county clerk's offices within 3 days to fill out reasonable impediment forms. The latest version of the bill permits voters with credit, debit, or Social Security cards to vote normally as long as they sign an affirmation. Secretary of State Michael Adams says he's received plenty of input on the bill.
I listen to opponents and critics, and I encourage the Senate to listen to opponents and critics. Obviously, we expect them to maintain their opposition, and we respect that opinion.
The ID measure now moves to the full Senate. State officials are hoping to make it easier to become Real ID compliant. Starting in October, Americans will need a Real ID compliant license in order to board domestic flights or enter federal buildings and military bases. Kentucky transportation officials call the rollout a mess, but Transportation Secretary Jim Gray says they're doing their best.
When it comes to the Cabinet's approach to provide Real ID driving and identity credentials to Kentucky, we want all citizens to know that we are hard at work on this project.
Offices in Somerset and Paducah are now open for those who need a Real ID. All Kentuckians can get a compliant ID at the Frankfort office. Kentucky education officials are encouraging residents and stakeholders to express what they want to see in the future Commissioner of Education via an online survey. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
The Kentucky Board of Education says the survey opened this week and will be available through February 6th. The board directed the Kentucky Department of Education to administer the survey while the board seeks an executive search firm. The board expects to hear results from the survey and for the firm by February 12th. State officials hope to name a new commissioner as late as July 1st. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Many in Jackson and Owsley County say they've seen a major boost since the installation of supervast internet infrastructure in the area 5 years ago. Keith Gabbard is CEO of the People's Rural Telephone Cooperative in Jackson County. Gabbard says local veterans who can't make the long trip to the nearest VA clinic can now speak with healthcare providers by video conference at the local public library, where his company has enabled free internet access.
So we worked out a partnership with our local public library. That's something the veterans are using more and more. It's really been well received. Their veterans are spending all day to go to the VA clinic in Lexington, Kentucky.
While he acknowledges that broadband can't solve all the region's woes, Gabbard says it's bringing real opportunities to many Appalachian families. Environmentalists are opposing one of the first bills put forward in West Virginia's 2020 legislative session because it aims to provide funding for the Appalachian Storage Hub. The project is expected to cost as much as $10 billion for a plant that can hold 10 million barrels of natural gas liquid byproducts. Jim Kotkin with the West Virginia Sierra Club says the nation has similar natural gas industrial centers, and that facility has emitted so much air and water pollution over the years that the surrounding area is called Cancer Valley.
West Virginia already has very high cancer rates, and we have not seen anything to suggest that our industry would develop in any way safer than what's already being done elsewhere.
A 2019 study by Harvard University School of Public Health showed that more people in the nation live much closer to underground natural gas storage wells than previously thought, and that accidents at those facilities have caused fatalities, explosions, and exposure to noxious odors. A new computer tablet reading program for West Virginia prisoners is under fire by advocacy groups that say the fees behind it are exploiting them. When prison technologies company Global TechLink, or GTL, announced last October that it was providing hundreds of free electronic tablets for West Virginia prisoners, it sounded like a compassionate gesture. But the program comes with a hitch. People who use it have to pay 3 cents per minute to read e-books on the tablets. That's even though the reading material comes from Project Gutenberg, a free online source. Lydia Welker is communications coordinator with the Appalachian Prison Book Project and says the cost is too much for the inmates.
So at a reading rate of about 30 pages per hour, it would cost $20.16 to read the first Harry Potter book, or about $19.80 to read George Orwell's 1984.
The prices are seen as excessive for people whose top hourly wage in a prison job is 58 cents. Georgetown officials are concerned about the city's public safety after a year-long finance analysis. Mayor Tom Prather tells WKYT law enforcement are feeling pressure as the city continues to grow.
The most basic promise that we make our citizens is about public safety, that they can work, live, play, and worship and be safe. And we're at the point of not being able to meet that promise. That worries me.
The city held a special council meeting last week to brief the public on findings. The new city budget did not add any new city employees or allow funds for new capital improvements, and no solutions were suggested at that meeting. But Prather hopes starting the discussion will help generate new ideas in the community. A researcher at the University of Louisville is receiving a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation for renewable energy research. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has that story.
Joshua Spurgeon does his research in the Kahn Center for Renewable Energy Research in the J.B. Speed School of Engineering. He focuses on the production of hydrogen fuel from water with solar energy. The fuel has no greenhouse gas emissions. Spurgeon will work to make the type of fuel more economically competitive, and if the technology is successful, it could revolutionize the energy industry. The funding spread over 5 years comes from the NSF's Faculty Early Career Development Program. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, including the counties of Elliott, Fleming, and Mason. Friday, rain with a high near 48. Friday night, rain likely before 4 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow. Mostly cloudy skies with a low around 35. On Saturday, a chance of rain and snow before 1 p.m., then rain with cloudy skies and a high near 39. Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain, cloudy skies with a low around 33. Sunday, cloudy with a high near 39. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 31 degrees. It's currently 47 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, adult education is now more accessible to Kentuckians. WMKY's Lacia Hennenberg reports.
Kentucky Skills U provides free adult education across Kentucky. Now the organization is making their services even more attainable by waiving the GED test fee. Jennifer McKinney is the director of Morehead State University's Kentucky Skills U branch. She says without the GED fee, more Kentuckians will be able to pursue higher education or further their careers.
For a lot of folks, coming up with that $120 test fee was a real struggle. So we don't have that barrier any longer. It will be free to anybody who passes the GED ready test. And in addition, if they go through a Kentucky Skills U program, the individual can also take the GED Ready test free of charge.
The free GED Ready test is nothing new, but McKinney says the regular test fee often set back students who are ready to get their high school equivalency.
It would happen just very often people would pass the GED Ready test and be all set to take their GED test, but weren't not able to do that because they could not afford the $120 test fee. So that delayed their enrolling in post-secondary education, cut them off from job opportunities.
But McKinney is hopeful. She says this change may give more students a chance to get their GED.
I hope that this is a barrier that people will see no longer exists, and it's an opportunity for them to get a high school diploma equivalency, and the GED opens up so many more doors than they would ever have without that. So we're really hoping that a lot of students will come to us and this will draw in a whole new crowd of people.
The MSU SkillsU branch covers Rowan, Bath, Montgomery, Powell, Wolf, and Morgan counties, but every Kentucky county has either an adult education center or connection point. To get started at SkillsU, McKinney says it's as easy as a phone call.
An individual would need to call the center in their county and let the instructor know that they're interested in starting classes. There is a new student orientation that each person goes through where we go in detail about the opportunities and the services that we provide, the classes, individual distance learning.
McKinney says the time it takes to get a GED depends on each student's time commitment and the number of credits they need, but the center tries to get everyone a high school diploma equivalency as quickly as possible to get them into the workforce or higher education. She says development in Moorhead and surrounding cities lines up with the fee waiver.
We've got new employers coming into Moorhead, into the Round County area, and we just want to make sure that we have the workforce ready to go, that we have people who are ready and competent and can fill those positions.
McKinney says mainly the SkillsU Center wants to provide students with the opportunities to meet their individual goals. For more information, visit kyskillsu.gov. For WMKY News, I'm Lucia Henneberg.
It's 47 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson and Ty Martin, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this dreary Thursday afternoon. Tanner Boyd has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Eagles remain on the road. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting. The Moorhead State University women's basketball team enters Game 3 of their four-game road stretch tonight. The Eagles are in Cookeville, Tennessee, where they'll face off with the Tennessee Tech Golden Eagles. Head coach Greg Todd says their opponents are currently ranked number one in the Ohio Valley Conference, so his squad will need to play smart.
On the offensive end, we feel like we have some advantages in some areas, and we have to take advantage of those areas. And they do switch all ball screens, so we can get some mismatches with our guards on our post at times. And we just got to be able to take advantage of those situations.
The MSU women's team is set to tip off at 6:30 this evening. The Moorhead State University men's basketball team is facing off with Tennessee Tech tonight as well. The Eagles are looking to bounce back after dropping their last two games. Head coach Preston Spradlin says for his guys to succeed, they'll need to meet the standards his players have come to expect while playing on the Eagle squad.
It sounds cliche, try not to focus on the wins and losses. I'm always cautioning the guys. I don't judge our performance based on the final score. Because sometimes you're going to play really well, right, and you come up short.
Right.
And then vice versa, sometimes you win a game and you don't necessarily play as well as you're capable. So we talk about our standards all the time. We talk about playing to our standards rather than the score or rather to the opponent. And this group's done a great job.
Tip-off for the Moorhead State men's team is set for 8:30. A Kentucky native is continuing to see success in the PGA Tour. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has that story.
Jared Wolf won the Bahamas Great Abaco Classic at Bahamar on Wednesday for his first Korn Ferry Tour title, closing with 3-under-69 in strong win for a four-stroke victory over Brandon Harkins. A winner each of the last 3 years on PGA Tour Latino America, Wolf finished at 18-under-270 at Royal Blue Golf Course. The 31-year-old former Murray State player earned $108,000. With wind gusting to 30 miles an hour, Wolf was one of only two players to break 70 in the final round. Harkins finished with a 72. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Taking a look at 16th Region girls basketball action tonight, Elliott County hosts Wolf County and Morgan County hosts Greenup. Both of those games are set to start at 7:30. Bath County hosts a doubleheader with Montgomery County tonight. The girls tip off at 6 and the boys meet at 7:30. Meanwhile, over at Eastern Kentucky University, West Carter fell to Owensboro Catholic this morning in the All-A State Tournament, 62-33. Rowan County coach Sean Thacker grabbed his 400th career win last night in Moorhead. The Vikings took down Lewis County for the second time this season, moving to 15-6 and second place in the region. Thacker said going into the matchup, he was proud of his team's work ethic throughout this season.
You know, it's been a great team to coach as far as, you know, they kind of bring their lunch pail every day, and they're ready to go to work, and they're eager to get better each and every day, and they realize, you know, how hard they have to work in order for us to be successful.
The Vikings have a few days off this weekend. They'll host Russell on Tuesday at 7:30. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Rowan County girls basketball team is gearing up for their matchup with Russell Friday night. The Vikings came out with a 2-point victory when the two teams met in the EKC tournament back in December. Now, the Red Devils are ranked 4th in the region, while Rowan comes in at number 6. Viking head coach Matt Stokes says his team is focusing on the offense for this game.
We've watched the game film on Russell, and you know, we think we've got a few new offensive sets that we could run to take advantage of their man-to-man defense. We've looked at doing some zone defense as well. I think our girls really play well man-to-man. They're trying to throw some different defenses at them to kind of throw them off guard for a few trips at a time and then go back to our man-to-man. So, you know, our girls' focus is they've got to be ready for us to make changes on the fly.
Game time Friday in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. And that's a check of sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed little changed, recovering most of their losses from earlier in the session after the World Health Organization quelled some of the fears around the deadly coronavirus. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were actually down 26.45 at 29,159.82. The broader market was stronger, with the S&P 500 up 3.75 at 3325.50. And the NASDAQ composite up 18.71 at 9402.48. The WHO said it was a bit too early to consider this event as a public health emergency of international concern, and this news certainly helped out many travel-related stocks, as American Airlines was up 5.4% on the back of the comment. United Airlines closed up 1.9%. Gilead Sciences rose almost 1%, while Inovio Pharmaceuticals surged 11.6%. And investors have been fretting over the virus as the number of confirmed cases topped 600. The virus originated in Wuhan, China, and cases have now been reported in Singapore and the U.S. Concern over the virus caused Asian shares to tumble overnight. Chinese Treasury futures surged as fears of an economic fallout from the virus sent investors running for cover, with the Shanghai Composite down almost 3%, which was its biggest one-day loss since May 6th. The outbreak has certainly heightened fears of a global pandemic with potential implications across the economy, some analysts noted today. And also, these analysts said U.S. companies with exposure to China could potentially be negatively impacted from lower demand as nervous consumers stay home should the virus continue to spread. In earnings news, more than 12% of S&P 500 companies have now reported quarterly earnings, and of those, about 70% have beaten analyst expectations. In the commodities markets today, oil was under pressure, down 2%, finishing at $55.63 a barrel. Gold was up 0.33% at $1,561.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a rather rough day, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.7%. And as mentioned, Asia was very weak, with the Nikkei down 1% and the Shanghai Composite down almost 3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 5 cents at $54.89, Walmart down 27 cents at $115.83, Delta Airlines up 63 cents at $60.27, Marathon Petroleum down 62 cents at $55.35, and Anthem was up 89 cents to finish at $304.40. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking another quick look at your region's extended weather forecast for Friday, rain with a high near 48. Friday night, rain likely before 4 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 35. Saturday, a chance of rain and snow before 1 p.m., then a chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 39. Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain with cloudy skies with a low around 33. And for your Sunday, cloudy with a high near 39. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg will host a concert for music education at 6 p.m. on Saturday, January 25th. Performers include Colby O'Brien, Wayne Graham, Magnolia Boulevard, Luna and the Mountain Jets, and others. Tickets range from $15 to $25. The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, January 27th. The meeting will be held at the Rowan County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is hosting a public forum on highway transportation needs in the Ashland, Boyd, and Greenup areas of Northeast Kentucky. The event will be held at the Ashland City Commission Chambers Building from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 28. The Moorhead Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will present the film The Perks of Being a Wallflower at the Rowan County Public Library at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 28. The film is about a high school student dealing with childhood trauma. A brief discussion follows the presentation. The event is free and open to the community. The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland presents Aaron Lewis, Acoustic Songs and Stories, at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th. Tickets are priced from $40 to $75. High school transfer students are invited to an open house at Moorhead State University on Saturday, February 1st. Registration begins at 10 a.m. Take campus tours, meet faculty, and receive information on financial aid, housing, and admissions. More information and register online at moorheadstate.edu/admissions. A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free T-shirt. The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd, at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Keneally Roberts, Wyatt Melton, Zoe Hall, Nacogdoches Miller, Sarah Fashipe, Eden Jordan, Rachel Turner, Ty Martin, and Cody Robinson. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Lysia Hennenberg. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.